Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back at you with another edition of Phillies Today, the first Phillies Today of 2025. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope it was happy, healthy, celebrated with family and friends. As 2025 approaches now, we're back talking about the Phils, and appreciate you letting me have a week last week to go on vacation. Had a great time, and as always, I'm thinking about the Phils, and I'm going to obviously talk about Jesus Luzardo because I have not gotten to yet. Actually, as I was on the runway, as I'm sitting in the plane on the runway, about to take off from my flight to go on vacation, I get the notification that Jesus Luzardo has been traded to the Phillies, but it hadn't come out what it was for yet. And meanwhile, the entire flight, I am just thinking in my head, what did the Phillies trade for Jesus Luzardo here? Obviously, I was very excited because I think Jesus Luzardo is an extremely, you know, intriguing arm that is going to be a really key piece for the Phillies moving forward. And it was a move that I was finally excited about, something that Dave Dombrowski and the rest of the front office did that could get me, you know, in a place to where I can get excited about this offseason a little bit, because up to that point, it wasn't a ton of excitement for the Phillies. It wasn't a ton of big splashy names, as you know, Max Kepler and a couple other moves, but nothing that was really significant. But this is a move that you can truly get excited about. And as I'm sitting there on the runway, I take off. I don't know what the Phillies traded for him. And then I land and I finally find out what the Phillies traded. And I think they did really, really well in this deal. They end up trading Starlin Cabo, who, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I'm a big Starlin Cabo fan. He's an 80 grade defender over at shortstop, but really young as well. I think he's only 18, 19 years old, and I think could be a real stud in the future. But another one of those guys in the Phillies system where the bat needed to develop, and you weren't sure if that was ever going to happen. So Starlin Cabo goes in the trade, as well as Amarian Boyd, another prospect, number 23 prospect in the Phillies system, a young outfielder. So those are the two guys that get sent to the Marlins for Jesus Luzardo. And right off the bat, I'm going to say, in terms of what the Phillies had to give up to get, I think, a really quality starting pitcher, compared to what some guys signed for money-wise and what some guys, Garrett Crochet being the main one, were traded for, I think the Phillies did really well in this deal. And I think this was a move to where you didn't have to mortgage any of your big-time prospects. Like, I thought, as I'm in the air, you know, flying to vacation, I'm thinking in my head, there's a good chance Justin Crawford is in this trade and that Justin Crawford is no longer a Philly. Well, I land and that's not the case. So the Phillies keep what are probably their three biggest blue chip prospects. They keep them here with the Phillies being, you know, of course, Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, as well as Justin Crawford. So that is good news to see there. And the Phillies got better. There's no doubt about it. They did what I would say the 2011 team did a little bit, and they strengthened to strength, which is the Phillies, I would say, that best aspect of their team last year, I think everyone could agree upon, was the starting pitching. Like, the starting pitching had a phenomenal season. The emergence of Chris Sanchez, of course, being one of the major reasons. Zach Wheeler having another phenomenal year. Aaron Nola having a real good season after signing the big contract. Ranger Suarez being, what, the Cy Young Award, you know, leader through one half of the season. Obviously, he tailed off due to injury and some other factors in the second half. But they strengthen a strength there, and they bring in Jesus Luzardo to add to that. And you have Andrew Painter, who will be coming up at some point, maybe June or July, for the Phillies this year. And they've built themselves a super rotation. And I think that by strengthening a strength and making this rotation probably one of the best two in baseball with the Dodgers there, you know, you've made it really intriguing to see if this strategy is going to work. Because I think most people would say that going into this offseason, the Phillies needed to sort of reshape their lineup a little bit. And the reason they've gone out of the postseason the past couple of years, and the reason that, you know, they've ultimately been eliminated, is that the bats sort of had the same approach in the postseason, and ultimately it led to their downfall, which was a lot of swing and miss, a lot of chase, and against the Mets and the Diamondbacks, that really showed and was prevalent. And they haven't made much change to that lineup. I know adding Max Kepler is one aspect to where things could look different because he probably will be the starting left fielder for the Phillies next year. At least that's how it's going to be on opening day. We'll see how, you know, Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas work into that equation. Nick Castellanos obviously being in right. But they ultimately decided to go a different route, and they bring in Jesus Luzardo to make this a super rotation. And I think you ultimately, it's funny because I think the Dodgers are the team that they are trying to sort of emulate and compete with right now. And they are sort of doing that too, because I think there's still a good chance that Roky Sasaki ends up a Dodger. We'll see, you know, how that all ends up playing out. It seems like he doesn't want to meet with any East Coast teams, not meeting with the Phillies. I know the Boston Red Sox really wanted a meeting and they're not getting one with Sasaki. So it feels like it's probably going to be the Dodgers or the Padres to end up getting him. But we will see what ends up happening there. That's going to be massive for those two teams, because the Padres, there have been rumors about them potentially getting off of Dylan Cease. So that would be their ideal replacement for Dylan Cease if he either gets traded or in a year or so leaves in free agency. So it's interesting there. But I think they did this to compete with what the Dodgers have. And I'll tell you what, a team like the Mets, who are probably considered them and the Braves, the third and fourth teams in the National League with the Phillies, with the Dodgers, they don't have as strong starting pitching as either the Phillies or the Dodgers easily. And the Mets have obviously put in a lot into Juan Soto. They've put a lot into their lineup. But if you look at what they have pitching-wise right now, they obviously bring back Sean Manaea, who had a phenomenal postseason and certainly a renaissance sort of bounce-back season there. But I look at that rotation, and it really doesn't do that much for me. So besides the Phillies and the Dodgers, I think that it's a step down for everybody in the National League in terms of pitching rotations. So that's why I really like the move. I think that, you know what, if you can't necessarily get a bat in here to really strengthen your lineup and make improvements upon what it was last year, you might as well double down on something you're really good at. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the offseason plays out, because it feels like the Phillies are done making moves. I don't want to say that for sure, but from all the quotes that have come out and for what all the Phillies beat reporters are kind of putting out there, it does seem like it's probably unlikely that the Phillies make another big splash. And I was frankly just excited that they did make a big splash, because I wasn't sure if that was ever going to happen there. So I think that, are they done this offseason? Probably. But the one guy who I'm looking at as, you know, this offseason progresses and as the season goes on, who I think could potentially be on the move eventually, is you have to look at Ranger Suarez. And obviously, you know, we love Ranger, and Ranger has been phenomenal for this ball club ever since, you know, one of the youngest prospects in the Phillies system has come all the way up and has really performed well for the Phillies throughout his tenure here. And towards the end of last season, though, it just felt like you didn't know if it was just a stuff thing or if it was an injury thing, but he sort of started to get figured out by some guys. And Ranger doesn't have that natural velocity and that natural stuff like a lot of pitchers do, like Zach Wheeler, like a Jesus Luzardo does. So he relies on location a lot, and you start to wonder if players start to figure that out and they either lay off him or if they, you know, change their approach to sort of, you know, combat what Ranger does, and that is just pinpoint accuracy and, you know, painting the corners and not really beating you with velocity. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this Ranger thing sort of plays out, and especially once Andrew Painter comes up, because once Painter's up, this is going to be a six-man rotation. It has to be. And he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of after this season, I believe. He's under arbitration for one more year. I know they've already, I think, come to terms with that. So we'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2026. So do they try to get some value for him while he's still here? I don't know. But I think for now, it's never a bad thing to have too much starting pitching. And I think the starting pitching market in baseball, as you've seen this offseason in free agency, in the trade market, it's a luxury to have a lot of starting pitchers. And if you hold on a Ranger and say, by the trade deadline, Andrew Painter's up, he's pitching well, Lizardo's healthy, he's pitching well, and obviously you have Wheeler, Nolan, and Sanchez doing their thing, like, maybe a team really inquires about getting Ranger Suarez here, or getting Ranger Suarez to their team. And if you need a bat, say the outfield is struggling and Max Kepler wasn't the guy who you thought he was and he's having trouble bouncing back or he's injured, like maybe you go out and you trade for an outfielder and you sort of dangle Ranger as the piece that, you know, sort of gets somebody here. So I think it's going to be pretty intriguing to see how that all plays out. And again, I will say that I love Ranger in terms of what he brings to the clubhouse, his demeanor, and just his body language. I've always appreciated that, you know, he goes out there and he's calm, cool, and always collected. And I obviously love watching him field his position. Should have won a Gold Glove by now. Can't believe he hasn't. But he is somebody that is definitely should be looking out for to be potentially on the move over the next year or so. So Ranger is definitely going to be in those discussions, but as far as this offseason, I don't know if the Phillies will do anything else, just considering that, you know, they've, from everything that's come out, it feels like Dave Dombrowski, Preston Mattingly, and the rest of the front office has sort of, you know, tempered expectations as to making another move there. But one move that I would still love them to make, but I don't think they will, is Jeff Hoffman. He's still out there. And I know the Phillies have, you know, made some bullpen moves so far. They brought in Joe Ross, obviously Jordan Romano. I just think that if you got Jeff Hoffman back here, that would be the one move that would sort of solidify this offseason. To me, would make it a success. I think that Jeff Hoffman, we've obviously heard rumors about him wanting to potentially be a starter elsewhere and maybe commanding more money because of that, and had a phenomenal year last year, was an all-star. So I don't know if he's in the Phillies' budget of what they plan on spending the rest of this offseason, but, man, I'd love to see him back in a Phillies uniform. And if not, it just feels like they are pinning a lot of pressure on Jordan Romano to sort of bounce back and become the Phillies' high-leverage guy that they need. And there was a rumor out there, by the way, that I saw John Heyman put this out there yesterday. And again, I don't want to kill John Heyman on here because he's obviously very connected and knows a lot of things and probably or certainly is more connected than I am. But at the same time, I saw him go on a podcast yesterday and say that, like, Jeff Hoffman was upset when Carlos Estevez was brought in here last year and that he wanted to be the closer. And I think that's I'm smelling lies on that, because first of all, Jeff Hoffman and Carlos Estevez, I'm pretty sure they knew each other from their Colorado days when they were teammates together, and I don't see how that would have been a problem. And I understand Jeff Hoffman wanted to be the closer and probably should have been the closer despite, you know, having a great season but a pretty bad postseason. I just think that I don't think that would be a reason why he wouldn't come back here. He's ultimately looking to get paid, looking to get the most money possible, and as he should. He was an all-star, was phenomenal for the Phillies over the past couple of seasons, and frankly, he's been one of the best stories around baseball over the past couple of years, considering he was discovered and, you know, brought in here essentially after pitching batting practice to Bryce Harper after his elbow injury, and Bryce going up to the front office and saying, hey, you might want to take a look at that guy. And Jeff Hoffman being the guy he was over the past couple of years, if he's not back in a Phillies uniform, they're going to miss him, no doubt. And he's somebody who, you know, like Ranger, like a lot of these other guys who make up this team, really well respected in the clubhouse, and would be a big, big help to this team moving forward. And you're essentially going into next year, if he's not here, with these four guys as your high leverage. You would be Romano, Strom, Alvarado, and Kirkring. And I actually have a lot of faith in all four of those guys. Well, Romano, if he can stay healthy, but I think Jose Alvarado probably bounces back next year. I don't think that last season was, you know, he was at his best maybe health-wise and obviously didn't perform the way that he typically did in 2022 and 2023. Kirkring, I expect to take another big step, still really young. I expect his fastball to continue to get even better. Obviously, we know he's one of the best sweeper, slider, whatever you want to call it, you know, spin rates in the league, and has been really effective with that pitch. But I have a lot of faith in him to potentially not only, you know, be a really good high leverage guy for them this year, but he could be a closer for this team eventually. And again, still very young, still has time to develop here. And I think once he really gets a handle for that fastball and can locate it at, you know, 98, 99 on, you know, a consistent basis, then I think Orion Kirkring could be, you know, a potential closer, a very high leverage option for the Phillies. Strom, obviously great last year and was an all-star with Jeff Hoffman. So have a lot of faith in Matt Strom as well. And like I said, Jordan Romano, it's going to be a lot about health. And if he is healthy, if he can return to that 2022, 2023, and years prior to that form, then I think that losing Jeff Hoffman maybe isn't as big of a deal as I'm making it out to be. But I think there's a lot of ifs with this Phillies team. It just feels like, Obviously, Lizardo had his injury problems last year. He had, I think it was lower back issues, like a lumbar stress sort of reaction type thing that kept him out a long time. And that's going to be something you have to monitor. He said he's at 100%, but at the same time, you never know if those things can come back and, you know, sort of nag and react differently when you're in the regular season. So you have Lizardo, who's maybe a little bit of a what if. You have Romano, who's definitely a what if. And you have Max Kepler, who also had injury problems and you know, has had great years in the past, but or good years in the past. But at the same time, I don't know how you can exactly rely on him to be, you know, an improvement in terms of a outfield bat from what the Phillies had last year. So three, you know, pretty big what ifs. And that's the way it feels like the Phillies are going this offseason in terms of what direction they're heading in. They're bringing in a lot of guys on 1 year prove it deals. They're trading for a prove it guy. And you know what? If one or two of those guys hit, I would consider that a success. And I think they will. And I think that the, you know, scouting team and the front office has done their due diligence on a lot of these guys. And like I said, Lizardo said he feels completely healthy, which would be a great sign. And he is one of those guys, Lizardo, where it almost reminds me of Zach Wheeler a little bit when he was brought in here. Obviously, couldn't put a full season together due to injury up until, you know, he got here. And he's shown the stuff, man. Like, he has really impressive stuff. Like, he has velocity. He has good spin. Has great, you know, whiff rate numbers, chase rate numbers. And he's somebody that if they can get him right, they can get him healthy and pitching for a full season, like, that could be a big-time steal of a trade. And he's under team control for another season beyond this year, which is massive, which I always appreciate when you get guys that are under team control so they don't leave for free agency right after. You don't have a Juan Soto type of thing going on. And I just think that this pitching staff between Lizardo and all these guys, it's going to be really fun to watch if they can all stay healthy. So that's kind of where I'm at on the Lizardo thing. That's where I'm at on the bullpen, just sort of the pitching staff as a whole. There are some what-ifs there for sure, but if these guys return to the forms that they were in before they were injured in 2022, 2023, years prior to that, then the Phillies could be in good shape here. And this definitely, I would say, changed my view of the offseason a little bit here as the Phillies continue to make a little bit of noise here. And Lizardo is definitely a big name. It was one of the first, you know, it felt like the first big name the Phillies had acquired this offseason. So that was good to see. And before I get, you know, to the end of this pod right here, want to talk about, as we, you know, ring in the new year, it is 2025. I want some 2025 bold predictions. I'm going to go with a couple here. And these are predictions to where, again, it's a big what if podcast. We're doing a lot of what ifs right now. But if these things happen, then the Phillies could be in really good position to be back where they were in the regular season last year, because that's ultimately what you want. Like, you will absolutely take this team winning 90 to 95 games again like they did last year. That should put them in prime position to win the NL East. I know the Mets improved. I know the Braves are still the Braves. They're going to get healthier. But if they end up regular season-wise where they were last year, maybe not in exactly that order, maybe you don't spend the last 3 months just cooling down and it felt like, you know, you kind of knew that what was happening in the playoffs was going to happen. But at the same time, if they get to that win threshold, 90 to 95, they should be in really good shape. But a couple bold predictions I have before we get out of here are Bryson Stott bounces back and returns to his 2023 form, which would be absolutely massive for this team, because I think a big part of why the lineup struggled last year, and we talk about the identity of the lineup, them not being able to, you know, put the ball in play and be able to manufacture runs without the home run ball, and just, you know, being able to get on base and use the base pass to your advantage. I think a big part of that was Bryson Stott and him struggling throughout the year last year. And I know he was dealing with some nagging injuries that have been, you know, documented after the season. And I just think that if you can get him back to what he was in 2023, which was a guy who's hitting above 280, a guy who's stealing bags, a guy who's playing a great great second base, which he did last year as well, then that's going to be massive for this team. And if you can, it almost felt like there was such a drop-off after Bryce and Trey and, you know, Cassidy towards the second half of the year, that if he can provide some lineup depth for you and he can return to what he was and what, you know, he came up as, which was a really impressive prospect that had a great hitting tool, then I think the Phillies are going to be in much better position lineup-wise than they were last year. So Bryson Stott bouncing back and returning to his 2023 form would be absolutely massive. And I think it's going to happen because, again, had nagging injuries last year. I think that Kevin Long probably worked with him this offseason and tried to, you know, maybe look at some film and get him back to where he was a couple of years ago. So Bryson Stott returning to form would be absolutely massive. And one other thing I want to make as a prediction as we head into 2025 is it's time, man. Zach Wheeler is going to win the 2025 Cy Young Award. He has come close, really close, two times now in his Phillies tenure. 2021, where, frankly, Corbin Burnes stole the award from him. He had way more innings pitched. His WAR was higher. He had just incredible numbers in 2021 and essentially carried the Phillies pitching staff when they were really struggling. He did not get the Cy Young that year. And, of course, last year, probably should have went to Chris Sale, who won it and definitely deserved it, but, you know, kind of tinkered out a little bit as the season went on and dealt with some injury issues towards the end. He didn't get it last year either, so came in second a couple of times. I think this year, health, you know, permitting, this is finally the year he gets it done, and he wins a Cy Young Award, which would be absolutely massive for his resume, because right now, Zach Wheeler, based on what he's done in his Phillies tenure, if he can keep this up for another, you know, 2-3 years or so, like, he might put himself in the Hall of Fame conversation. I know he was a late bloomer, had some injury issues while he was in New York, and, you know, he came here and kind of figured it all out, but in terms of longevity, if he can do it for another 2-3 more years, that is an impressive, you know, 6-7 year peak for Zach Wheeler. So obviously a Cy Young Award would really help in that area. And I think his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame, he really needs to have one on his resume. So I think this is the year he gets it done. And you know what? Having all these pitchers with him and, you know, pitching next to him in the rotation, I think they all motivate each other and they all end up, you know, saying, hey, you know, I threw 7 innings last night. I'm going to throw, or Knowles, you throw 8 tonight. And it's one of those things where I think they'll motivate each other and they'll always be looking to top one another and be, you know, a really dominant pitching staff the way we saw in 2011 with the Phillies and what they were able to do with that sort of, you know, mega staff that they ended up forming. So Zach Wheeler wins the Cy Young Award. Bryson Stott bounces back, gets to his 2023 form. So those are my two big predictions for the year 2025. So with that, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. I appreciate you all listening as always. Definitely have a great 2025 if you're listening. And it's our year. It's going to be a good year for the Phils, and they're going to get it done. Once again, for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.